I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
This morning hymn is going to come from our hymnals, page 122. Blessed choir.
Come on up, brother.
We can't hear you. He said, kill me, so come on up, brother.
Good morning, church.
Morning.
Can you hear me now? Amen. Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
This morning's hymnal will be coming. Hymn will be coming from our hymnals, page 122. Blessed choir. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Blessed quietness. Holy quietness. What assurance in my soul. Yes. On the stormy seas, Jesus speaks to me. Yes. And the billows cease to roll. Boy, I needed that. I needed that. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Happy Father's Day to my Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. God bless you. Like I said this morning to the men, to all the women that undergirds us, overgirds us, and keeps us, and to all our children who makes us fathers. Amen. This morning's scripture will come from the reading of the wise man Solomon, Proverbs chapter 4. I will begin reading at verse 1. Proverbs chapter 4. I will begin reading at verse 1. I'd like to say, God bless you all those who are here with us now, those who are Facebook Live. God bless you. Those who continue to support the ministry, God bless you. Thank you so much. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 reads, the New King James, hear my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. If I give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, and the only one in tender, and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all your getting, get understanding. This is the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is already blessed. Amen? Amen. This time I'm going to call on Mr. Turner, ask him if he'd come and lead us in a word of prayer.
Good morning, church. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, another day to come out into your church, dear Lord. Another day, dear Lord, that we haven't seen before. And we thank you, dear Lord, just for letting us see another Father's Day. Dear Lord, we thank you. Oh, Father, we thank you just for being a wonderful Father to us.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you, dear Lord. You look out for us so much along the years, dear Lord. You blessed us, dear Lord. You lead and guide us, dear Lord. You protect us. You do it all, dear Lord. You are all in all.
Yes.
But then we also thank you for our earthly fathers, dear Lord, that you've given us. Dear Lord, the great men of God, dear Lord, that just teach us and protect us, dear Lord. We thank you for giving us a good shepherd here, dear Lord, here at the church.
Oh, yes.
We ask that you would please just bless each and every one under the sound of my voice, dear Lord.
Yes, sir.
We wish them all a very, very happy Father's Day. Not just the fathers, not just the men, but the women too, dear Lord. We just want everyone to just have such a blessed day this day, dear Lord. Dear Lord, and then we ask that you please help us and teach us, dear Lord. Teach us how to be better Christians, dear Lord. Dear Lord, show us the way, dear Lord, so that we may be better people, dear Lord, for the building of your kingdom. Dear Lord, we just thank you, dear Lord. We just can't thank you enough for you're just wonderful, dear Lord. We praise your name, dear Lord. Your name deserves to be praised. You're worthy, dear Lord. You're worthy. If we had 1,000 tongues, we couldn't praise you enough. Lord, we just thank you, dear Lord. We ask that you would please just go out into the homes of each and everyone under the sound of our voices, the ones that's tuning in, the ones that wish they could be here, dear Lord. There's so many out there, dear Lord, but you know their hearts, dear Lord. You know their desires. You know all about them. You know all about us. You know what's best for us. And we just ask that you please just continue, dear Lord, to bless us the way that we need to be blessed, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we just love you and we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
this being Father's Day, we also would like to give thanks to the ladies also. Sacrifice, Lord. Fill us, God, until we are able to see your will and your way and to hear your word. God, I ask you to strengthen me and cover me with the blood of the cross of Calvary. And God should give me strength, wisdom for a few moments to do what only you can do. That's speak truth to power. Speak truth in love. Heal us, God. Deliver us and set us free. My prayer, Lord, is that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart has been acceptable in your sight. But truly, oh Lord, you are my strength. Lord, you are my redeemer. In Jesus' name I do pray. Let the faithful of God say amen. If you have your Bibles, your phone, your pad, whatever you use, I invite your attention to the Gospel of St. Mark, the 5th chapter. We'll begin reading at the 21st verse. Mark's Gospel, 5th chapter. I'll begin reading at the 21st verse. Y'all remember last week when I preached from Mark, because I said Mark was what I call the immediate gospel. And I don't know about you, but there's so much going on now, I need a blessing right now. I need God to show himself strong right now. Mark's Gospel, the 5th chapter, and the 21st verse. I think I better hurry on, because some of y'all act like you're tired already. Amen. Mark's Gospel reads from the NIV, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her blood stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked him, "Touch my clothes. You see the people crowding around you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell to his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? This child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. And he took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumai," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. And she was 12 years old. And as this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and told them to give her something to eat. Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, verse 22, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My daughter is dying. Please come, lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. I want to preach to you from a subject for a little while this morning, the faith of a father. The faith of a father. The faith of a father.
something about fatherhood that's seeming to be put by the wayside. Not so much that there are not good fathers, because there are some good fathers. There are also some fathers who are struggling, and yet if we would be honest with ourselves, those who consider themselves to be good fathers, that it took us a while to become who we were by nurture of men who were strong and women who would not let us get away with anything, and a God who already had given us a mandate to be good men. Amen. When fatherhood is, you don't just become a father, you grow into a father. Mm-hmm. It's not just biological. There are some biological fathers out here, but they need to, like I said, we need to pray for them. Don't beat them down. Pray for them and give them time to grow up into who they should be and allow them to step into their role. And you will find out that most fathers, when we really become fathers, we nurture everything around us. We take care of our children. We take care of our wives. We teach our children. We protect our children. We love our children. And we are there for our children. Barack Obama said it best, that most children without fathers, they either go to prison or they drop out of school. He made it real clear that most children who don't have fathers in the home, they begin to have behavior problems. And I can say this, that when Jairus came to Jesus, he was at a desperate moment. I remember a time when I was sitting in Duke Hospital, waiting to hear what they were going to do, knowing that I had a tumor on my brain. I was worried, I was afraid, and I couldn't keep any food down. And my wife was right there with me, and the saints had been praying for me. But do y'all know what stopped me from really worrying about all of that? I looked across the waiting room for me, and there was a father and a mother sitting with a child. The child had a visible tumor on their head. And these parents were running behind this child, trying to nurture and take care of the child and make the child comfortable. And I forgot all about the fact that I was down there because I was sick. But then God has a funny way of stepping into your situation and showing you sometimes that you're better off than what you think. Because while they were down with their child who was sick unto death, do y'all know what I realized? That Michael Thompson had never been sick like that. Mike broke his arm playing football, but he had never been sick like that before. Portia stayed relatively healthy, and she had been sick like that. So I had to begin to thank God, not for the fact that my children had not been sick, but there was something to thank him for. But they wasn't no better than someone else's children. It's just for whatever reason, they didn't get sick like that. See, I'm trying to talk to somebody now who's trying to throw children away, but you don't realize what they're going through. I'm not just talking about physically. Some children are going through mentally. Some children are going through emotionally. Hey, man, somebody, everything that we are going through, they feel the same pain that we feel. Lord have mercy, I wish I had somebody up in here. That to become a father, you got to get involved in your children's life. Notice I'm talking about fathers because it's Father's Day, ain't that right? And I'm talking to fathers who are truly fathers, amen. I know that grandfathers and pawpaw, that's all right. Sometimes you got to step in because of society and some things that have happened. I understand that. I understand that there are some great uncles, there are some great coaches. I understand all of that. But today, I just want to talk to the men who have been good fathers and they have been overlooked, amen. And they need somebody to let them know that they recognize the fact that they are really trying to do a good job. There are some of y'all who raised y'all children. Amen. Somebody, y'all got them up to size. Amen. But now they're struggling now and they come back to you. Amen. They come back to you not because you didn't teach them well. They come back to you because society is hurting everybody right now. And then when they come back to you, they may be in a financial bind. They may be struggling at the crossroads of life or what to do with themselves. But basically, they just want to crawl up in their father's lap. Basically, they just want to let you hear them tell them that they are doing well. They want to hear mama say, no matter what, it's going to be all right. And I'm talking not just to daddy, I'm talking to mamas too, because it takes all of us. It takes a village to raise a child. And if you know today, people just want to throw things away. I know in Jesus, there's no male, no female. I understand that. There's no black, no white, supposedly, ain't that right? No race, but that's supposedly, right? That's theory, ain't that right? I wish I had somebody who would tell the truth. Amen. But since I got the mic, I'll go ahead on and tell the truth. I'm telling you now that we got some problems. We got pandemic going on that people act like they realize don't trick yourself. People are still sick and people are still dying. People in Alamance County, do you know that Alamance County had the second highest death rate in North Carolina? I wish I had somebody who would have some sense to do what you're supposed to do so you can stay healthy. Yeah. Teach that to your children. No, children don't understand. I'm talking about grown. I'm not talking about just little small children. I'm talking about grown children. Grown children, listen to me right now. If you're going around your mother and your father and your grandparents, you may want to put a mask on, amen. You might want to sanitize your hand. You might want to take care of yourself. Because the very thing that you can shake off, we can't shake off no more. I thought I'd tell the truth while I got the mic. So I'm talking about pandemic. Not only pandemic, we got white supremacists and racism. We're still fighting the same problem. I sat back and watched Dr. King in Selma the other night, and he was going through death threats. He was going through trying to get voting rights for people in the South, and he was covering his son up, and he kissed him and began to talk to his children, right? And he was going through some stuff, but he didn't let them know what he was going through. And the thing that got me about Dr. King, they showed him when he got to the Edmund Pettus Bridge. The first time Dr. King didn't go. Y'all remember? And everybody got beat down by the same police who was supposed to be protecting them, by the same soldiers who were supposed to take care of citizens. Amen. They did not. And they used the law to their own advantage. Amen. And they beat and they whipped folks. And Congressman John Lewis suffered a concussion and all these things happened. Dr. King, the second time he went with them, if y'all remember, all different races were with him and all different religions were with him. And he knelt down on the bridge and everybody knelt down with him and the policeman said, turn away. And Dr. King still stayed down on his knees and the policeman turned like this to let him go through. Dr. King stood up, everybody stood up. Dr. King turned around and went back the other way and folk couldn't understand what he did. He did that because when he prayed, I feel like God told him this is not the time to go through. But there came another time when Dr. King came. Everybody else came with him. And when they got to that same point on Edmund Pettus Bridge, he kneeled down and everybody kneeled down with him. And when he stood up that time and that policeman went by, and then they began to walk on through. I'm saying to somebody now, ain't it time we stop fighting the same old fight? And we've been fighting the same fight about voting, about rights and all this stuff. And I'm telling you, it's time to stop right now. I ain't marching no more. I ain't calling nobody no more. I ain't signing no petition no more. It's time for us to get what belongs to us just because it belongs to us. God-given, inalienable rights. Tell them, Pastor, why don't you go there? I went there to tell you about your rights, because fathers, you have rights too. There are single fathers who had children, and because they can't do what they're supposed to do financially, or if mama fall out with them, they won't let the man see the child, but you got the right to see your child. You're supposed to see your child, raise your child, protect your child, support your child, talk to your child, bring your child to church, do everything you're supposed to be, so your child can grow up to be the man and the woman that they are supposed to be. Yes, sir. Yeah, I know it got quiet. That's all right. I'm going to say what you want to say. Mark chapter 5. It's the same thing in Matthew chapter 9. Same thing in Luke chapter 8. You find a man named Jairus. He's coming because he heard that Jesus is on the way. Jesus on the way. He's already been in Capernaum. He left Capernaum. He crossed over to the other side. He met a demon-possessed man, and because of the wisdom and the power of Jesus, when he left the Gadarenes, the demon-possessed man was clothed and in his right mind. Jesus gets back in the boat, crosses over to the other side. When he gets to the other side, there's a crowd of people there, and not only is there a crowd of people there, Jairus is coming. Y'all say, well, what does that mean? Jairus was the ruler of the synagogue. Jesus wasn't popular then like he is now because they couldn't identify with Jesus. Because what they was talking about, Jesus had the power to do it. They was talking about loving folk, but they didn't have no love in them. They was talking about healing, but they didn't have the power to lay hands on folk by faith and heal them. And Jesus was doing the very things that they were talking about. Jairus comes. And all he knows is he's heard about Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I want you to think about something this morning. If you're like me, I'm discouraged. I'm in despair. I'm in a dark place because I'm getting sick and tired of being sick and tired. Sometimes I don't even know what to ask the Lord for because there's so much going on now. You don't know. If you don't keep yourself grounded, you won't know what's right and you won't know what's wrong. You won't know what's left. You won't know what's right. And you got trouble in the house, trouble in the church, trouble in the White House, trouble on the street, trouble on every hand. What do you do? Child said, hey, my daughter is sick. And see, there's a difference. You got to understand that this man had some money. This man had some power. This man had some prestige. He could have done anything, went anywhere he wanted to. Went to great men and women of that day and talked to them. But y'all know what he did? He decided to go to Jesus. He walks up to Jesus. The Bible says he fell down on his knees and he began to worship Jesus. This is for somebody right now. Stop looking for the schools to raise our children. Stop looking for social service to raise our children. Stop looking for the church to raise your children. And take your children to Jesus. Amen. Notice one thing, that Jairus' daughter didn't go. The girl's mama, Talitha's mama, did not go to Jesus. The man went to Jesus. I'm going to try to flip this thing back up like I'm supposed to today so y'all can understand what I'm saying. I'm so sick and tired of folks saying that men ought to help women. That's wrong right there. Jesus said that he created man first, placed him into God, and then he took the woman and made her a helpmeet. Ain't no man supposed to be laying up in no bed. Ain't no man supposed to be shrinking back when trouble comes. You get up out the bed, go see what that noise is in your house, and make sure you get it right. Time to be a man. But what makes a man? Not how you look. Not what you have in your pocket, and it's not who you know, unless you know Jesus. The thing is, Jairus was a worshiper. He fell down at Jesus' feet, regardless of who was looking at him. And I'm trying to tell you now, through pandemic, racism, folk unemployment, get cut off, folk in trouble, folks fighting on every hand, fighting about statues and fighting about this and fighting about that. And while we fighting about statues, we got children that can't eat. We got folks that don't have a job. We got people that don't have nowhere to live. It's time out for this foolishness and begin to take care of the faith of God. Jairus came and fell down at the feet of Jesus. Lord, have mercy. When he fell down at the feet of Jesus, the Bible says he began to worship Jesus. Large crowd pressed against him. Now look what happened. You got your little girl's father who came to Jesus. Then you flip it over and you got a grown woman who comes to Jesus. This grown woman has been bleeding for 12 long years. This woman's been sick a long time. The Bible says she went to every doctor and the doctor couldn't heal her. She went to do all these different things and the remedy was not working. But then she said in her mind, if I may touch the hem of his garment, I know that I will be made whole. I'm trying to tell you now that the father went the first time on behalf of the child. And women, you got to stop fussing at these men. You got to try to re-raise these men and lift them up in prayer. And if you lift them up in prayer, God will change some hearts and God will change some minds. I wish I had somebody and just go ahead on and touch the hem of his garment. And the Bible says, the woman said, I know that I will be made whole. Then people look, Jesus said strange things. Jesus said, who touched me? All the boys around him today, everybody touching you, Jesus, because it's a crowd of people all around you. And y'all know what Jesus said? You don't understand. She didn't just brush up against me. She didn't just rub me. She touched me. And when she touched the hem of his garment, the Bible says, and I love Mark again, immediately, her blood flow began to dry up. But then here it comes, I got to go because y'all can't take much. When Jesus realized who had done it, Sister Saint, he said to her, daughter, I wish I had somebody. Jesus said to her, daughter,
Now, as I'm reading the text, Jairus goes for his daughter, ain't that right? And he covers his daughter in prayer, and he covers his daughter in worship, ain't that right? But then this woman was all by herself, because of the way the law was set up. She didn't have no husband she could touch. She didn't have no children she could touch. She didn't have nobody that was with her. But when she touched Jesus, everything got all right. But then as we go on down through the text, it said that, look, that while Jesus was speaking, some people came to Jairus, look at it now, and they said to him, your daughter is dead. And look what they said. They said, don't bother him no more. Lord, have mercy. If you got faith the first time or what God told you, don't worry about what it looked like to other people. You just keep on serving the Lord. Watch what happened, dear. What happened in the text was that they said to Jairus, while you was waiting on Jesus, because when he was worshiping, he got up off his knees and he began to walk with Jesus on the way to his house. On the way to his house, the woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus' garment. Jesus turns around and begins to have a conversation with her. See, that's for somebody right now. We watch other folks get blessed and we don't realize that God got enough miracle for you and for them. God got enough healing for you and for them. Yeah. And so then after Jairus standing there watching Jesus deal with the woman with the issue of blood, pick up some people coming up. And they said to him, don't even worry about it no more, cause you got to understand that your daughter's already dead. This Bible, the NIV said, don't trouble the teacher no more. The King James said, don't trouble the master no more. And what I'm trying to tell you is, don't never think that God don't hear your prayer. Don't never let folk talk you out of your blessing. Don't never walk away from your situation because it don't look like what you think it ought to look like. See, the faith of a father is this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. As a matter of fact, without faith, you can't please God. There's a whole lot of folk who say they believe in Jesus until rubber meets the road. That was the hand somebody. Mark chapter 11, verse 23 says that you got faith that you can move mountains. As a matter of fact, you don't take a whole lot of faith, but you got to have some faith, because you can take mustard seed faith, just a little bit of faith, and move things out the way. The Bible also says that every man has a measure of faith. My faith may not be what your faith is, but God has given me enough faith to have to believe that he can do what I need him to do in my life to accomplish what he has called me to do. That's for somebody right there. God has given you enough faith to do whatever it is that you need to do. People gonna walk away, folk gonna talk about you. I'm gonna show it to you, but you still got to keep on trusting the Lord by faith. It says that after Jesus started walking with Jairus, the girl has already died. The Lord said, don't even worry about it, only believe. If y'all look at another text in the book of Luke, there's a centurion soldier whose son is sick or servant is sick. And he tells Jesus, I need you to come. Then he said, no, I'm not ready for you to come under my door. Amen. He said, but if you just speak the word on him, he'll be made whole. But in this text, Jairus said, I need you to come. Then he did one. He said, I need you to come and lay hands on my daughter. Amen. But then Jesus said, I'll do it. And then when Jesus said, I'll do it, the girl died. Man, this is my point. I'm going to finish the text. My point is, sometimes you ask God to do something for you, and it looks like he's not going to do it. It looks like he forgot about you. It looks like the situation is dead, and you give up and forget that he is the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God. He knows everything. He has all power, and he sees everything. Now he goes into, get ready to go into the house. After verse 35, when they said, don't trouble the master no more. Look what happened. Jesus heard what they said. He said, don't be afraid. Just believe. Fathers, keep your faith and just believe. He did not let anyone follow him. I'm getting ready to go. Except Peter, James, and John. Because sometimes everybody not in your corner. Sometimes everybody is not on the prayer team. Their name may be on the bulletin as the prayer team. But if they don't have no prayer life, that thing is not going to work. Have you ever seen folks when God told you to do something and they start backing up off of you and telling you what you ought to do when God has given you clear mandate and what he wants you to do? When folks start acting like that, back off of them and go ahead on and do you. Sometimes you got to close the door on some situation. Sometimes you just got to let some people go. Sometimes it might cause your financial burden. Sometimes it might cause your friendship. Sometimes it might cause your relationship. But ain't nothing you lose in God too big for him to work out your situation. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and then he shut the door. And then he said to them, they was crying. They had professional people crying. Y'all know we got them now, ain't that right? When they don't never come to church, they don't even know the people that's in the casket when they come to church because they want to be seen, and they hooping and hollering, coming down and hollering, man. Just want somebody to see them. Jesus said, cut out all this fuss. The girl ain't dead. This girl is sleeping. And I'm trying to tell you, parents, especially you fathers, speak to your seed. Speak to your daughters. Speak to your sons. No matter what it looks like, the seed is not dead. You have to speak faith into their life. Y'all hear me now? So here it is. Jesus said, y'all got to go. And when he said that, he said, why y'all wailing? The child is not dead. He's asleep. Y'all know what they did? They laughed at it. Did for somebody. Right, you right at the precipice of your blessing. You about ready to get what God has for you. And folk are laughing at you. Some of them laughing in your face because they don't believe that you're going to do what God called you to do. And some folk laughing behind your back because they telling you in their face that they with you, but behind your back they really don't believe. But I just told you, you don't need them. All you need is Jesus. Watch it right here. So I said that, while all of this commotion, the child is not dead asleep. They laugh. And after he put them all out, y'all hear me? Y'all put some folk out now, I'm telling you. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother. Y'all see it? Not just the father, not just the mother. He took the father and the mother. It takes both, you understand? And he took the disciple, that's the church, and he went in where the child was. And he took her by the hand and he said to her, Talitha Kumai. That means, little girl, I say arise. And the Bible says immediately the little girl got up on her bed. Now, I'm gone when I tell you that when you got the faith of a father, you can speak to your house and your house situation can turn itself around. When you're a real father and a real grandfather and a nurturing parent, you can speak to your children's situation and their situation to turn around. It may not look like what you think it ought to look like, but today when you walk back in your situation, you need to speak that to Lydia Kumai. I say arise. Y'all hear me now? It's resurrection time, church. It's time to speak to this pandemic and say to Lydia Kumai, I say arise. It's time for somebody's faith to come alive. It's time for somebody's blood to begin to boil. And all these bad situations going on, and ask God to step in your situation and watch God work a miracle in your life. Cause some folks come to church cause they want somebody to tickle their fancy. They want the choir to make them feel good. They want the preacher to pump them up. But you ought to think about what God has done for you. What he's done for others, he'll do the same for you. If you think about what God has done for you, nothing should stop you from having the faith of God. I'm done. Fathers, take your children to Jesus. Tell the Lord all about your situation. Watch him work it out for you. There are some of you who, there are some other situations in your life. You're having a hard time. I'm asking you to turn it over to Jesus. I'm done. I want all fathers, if you're able. If you're a father, I want you to stand up. I do. I want you to stand up. Get out of your car, stand up. You do it everywhere else. Y'all come to church, y'all want to follow rules. Huh? I know. I catch you at Target. I catch you at Walmart. No mask. No nothing. Fathers, it's in your hands to have faith in God, to trust God. Y'all know why I said that? Because I started the sermon off, I went somewhere else. I told you when I first started, my heart is dark. I'm in despair. I'm discouraged about what I see. I don't want to leave my son Michael Thompson.
my grandson, Jasad and Jameer. I don't know about y'all, y'all can insert your name in there, y'all want to. But I don't want to leave them in a world like this, fighting the same fight, marching the same march, doing the same things, paying taxes and still don't have a voice. I wish I had somebody. If we would stand together, gotta start in church. But stop fighting over stuff that really don't make no difference. It don't mean nothing. Because if we don't fix some stuff right here, there's another generation after we die out. Oh, I forgot to tell you, we gonna die. And if the Lord don't come, there's a generation coming after us. And if we don't do something about what we see now in the church, in politics, in our house, you turn your blind eye to stuff going on in your house. Well, let me tell you something. It's gonna come right back in the same form. The other day I'm looking at Jason, 12 years old. I looked at him and I called him Mike three times. You know him. I called him Mike three times because he began to look just like him. What I'm trying to tell you is, you got to raise these children, especially these boys. But don't forget about the girls. Because everybody confused. Confused about what they want to do in life. Confused about their sexuality. Confused about everything. Confused about who to worship. There are so many Jesuses now that if you don't know the God of the Bible, you really don't know who Jesus is. I want to tell you today, your faith can change a whole bunch of stuff. God still hear your prayers. God is still able. Men, if you'll pray with me. Women, you got to pray with us. You've been praying for us all along. We know, but it's time for us to pray. Let us pray. Father, as we come now, try to be the best men that we can be, the best Christians that we can be, the best followers of Christ, lovers of our wives, lovers of our children, and for single men, lovers of those who are in your life, lovers of those who love us. And then, Father, put in us the love to love folk who are not even loved both. We ask you, God, to give us strength to lead our homes, to lead your church, and to stand up and speak truth to power. Bible says that the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Father, give us strength to know when it's time to be a warrior. Give us strength to know when it's time to be a worshiper. God, we'll do everything we can to be a living sacrifice for you, holy and righteous, which is our reasonable service. Bless every father today, every grandfather, everybody who takes time out to be a village to raise a child. God, we thank you now. Bless your preachers and your pastors who stood to preach, those who will preach, those who are going to preach. God, that you would give them strength, give them power, give them focus. Because not only, Father, have you given those of us who pastor children biologically, but you've given us children in your church. We thank you, God, for those who pray for us, those who love us, those who keep us. As I get ready to leave this place, Lord, I pray for a friend of Sister Angie Nixon who asked for prayer and chose to remain anonymous, but yet, God, we lift her up as the church to ask you, God, to give her strength, ask you, God, to give her focus, ask you, God, to cover her. And then, God, every child of God under the sound of my voice, Father, those who are sick in their body, God, send a portion of healing. Touch them, God. By faith, I ask this prayer. You said in John 14:14, whatever I ask, according to your name, God, you would do it. I'm asking you, God, to touch members of my congregation who are sick, members of my congregation who are unsure, members of my congregation, God, who may not know what's going to transpire. We may not know what happens, God. We may not know what it looks like. People think they're in control of the world. We know, God, you got the whole world in the palm of your hand. We give you praise. We give you honor. And we give you glory. Now, my prayer for you is this. May the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide henceforth, now and forevermore. If you believe that by faith, I want you to lift up your voice, clap your hands, blow your horn, do whatever it is to let the devil know I'm still here. Service, y'all got another song? I have the honor and the privilege. Before y'all sing, the honor and the privilege. We're in a position because of the gifting of the congregation. Vision, Brother Jeff Cook would not let it go. I wanted to give scholarships, didn't know how to do it, but Brother Jeff just kept on. He was persistent, he was prayerful. Just pastors, just get everybody to give a dollar. After a while, we look back at it, and you know, God can't take two fish and five loaves of bread. Can't he can turn and turn and he can feed a multitude? Amen. So, by faith, we're able to give the first annual scholarship to our first recipient. First of all, to all those who graduated, we're proud of you. Amen. You may not want the scholarship, but we're there for you. If we can help you, we will do it. This person right here, impeccable in her grace, impeccable in her leadership, impeccable toward her parents, impeccable in her mannerisms toward us in this church. And I tell you right now, I'm a challenge. But I just want to say I'm proud of her as a pastor. See, I preach, so I'm going to let him do all this other stuff. But I'm proud of her, I love her. I did want to be in basketball, but my day is over. So, Tia Tucker, would you come? Let's give her a hand clap of praise. Tia Tucker, our hand clap of praise. So, I'm going to step aside, but as she comes, I know she's going to, I know Brother Jeff, Thompson, Ray Lake Thompson, they're going to do some stuff. But, Sister Tia, listen to me, y'all. I read her essay where she got hurt. And she wouldn't quit. Listen to me, y'all. She got hurt real bad. Season-ending injury, ain't that right? Matter of fact, somebody told you it was a career-ending injury, right? You will never play basketball again, ain't that right? She has grades good enough to get an academic scholarship. Worked out and came back. And now she's one of the top basketball players around, not just around here, but pretty much in the country. I know you're good. I know you're good. I'm proud of you. I know you're good. GPA good, grades good, great athlete, amen. And she's a great Christian and a great child of God. Ain't that somebody else? Look what God can do by faith. So, yeah. So we got a little money for her, and we got some gifts for her, and some of y'all who gave or didn't give, oh, y'all got some money. Go on, pull that money up out from the mattress and get this baby some money. Amen. God bless you. I'm proud of you. Amen. God bless you.
Already mentioned that this was our first time doing the scholarship, and so hopefully we will have more to apply for in the upcoming years. But as he said, our winner is Tia Tucker, and just some of the awards that she has received throughout this year is the Mathematics Growth Award, and this was awarded to Tia for showing tremendous growth throughout her high school career in AP Calculus. And AP Calculus is not an easy thing, and she was able to get straight A's through that for the school year. She also received the Howard Mullis Outstanding Athlete Award and the Ruth Ann Phillips Courage Award. So in August of this year, she will be attending Howard Mullis University. Howard. And so here's your certificate. Congratulations on the scholarship. And also, we do recognize, normally we would have something in the fellowship hall for our graduate seniors. We're hoping to do something maybe in August, but we do also have a Cameron Warren, I think he's here. Cameron here. So Cameron is also a senior graduating. Both of them are graduating from Williams High School. And Cameron also received the Senior Art Award, goes to Cameron. And she plans to attend A&T University this fall. So, thank you.
Just to let everybody know, with all of your help, we were able to give her a scholarship this year of $500.
Yes!